Just bow your heads quickly one more time. Lord, thank you for conquering the grave. We know that the first church, they preached and taught daily. And the doctrine was focused around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he conquered the grave so that we could be saved. It's what separates Jesus from everyone else. No one else conquered the grave and lived and told about it. And then showed us how to get to heaven through him. Oh, we're so grateful that you conquered that grave, death, hell, sin, and the grave. So we bless you for that, Lord. It allows us to be free because we couldn't have done it on our own. You did it for us what we couldn't do. So we would ask now, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. Lord, as our hearts are prepared and ready to receive, we bless you for your word. Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a fallen, dark, dying, decaying world, Lord, that daily gets darker and darker, Lord. And that's why we daily need the light of your word so that we can see, not get tripped up, Lord, in the darkness. So we bless you. We thank you for your word. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles. I'm going to start with a message before the message, if that's okay. If you open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. And I want to challenge, as you're turning there, I want to challenge the family to continue fasting and praying. Each morning, we thank God for the fasting and praying that we don't wait and call a 21-day fast, but we fast and pray every morning. Amen. Amen. Trying to do this 365-day fast. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we go after God so he can speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. So I want to encourage those who have done it or haven't done it to continue to do it. Get into the Proverbs as we go through in the morning. As I was studying this morning, Proverbs 25:11 talked about a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's a beautiful picture. Pray that God will give you a word that's fitly spoken. Sometimes you just got to be quiet. But a word fitly spoken, that word fitly means at the right time. When a word is spoken at the right time, it's a beautiful thing. Think about just the beauty of the Proverbs. Then 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, didn't talk about trying to rule somebody else's spirit. It says, if you don't have any rule over your own spirit, you're like a city that is broken down without walls. You have no covering. Imagine if you slept in your house or your apartment last night and there were no walls and no roof. And you're trying to sleep. Anything goes. Anything can come in. Anything can happen. God said that's just the way it is when you have no discipline over your own spirit. You walk around like a house without walls. You're like a city that's broken down where anything can come in and anybody can come in and do whatever they want. You just left as a target for the enemy with no defense. Says something about self-discipline and discipline in God's word. That was just two of the verses in 25. Amen. It's the light of the word leading and guiding us. But I want to briefly talk about before I get into the message today, I briefly want to talk about ministering to God, because I'm challenging us to get into the Proverbs. To spend time with God each and every morning, fasting and praying. When we were on a couple of men and I, we went to a men's conference, and I was speaking, and I talked about ministering to God, talking to men of ministering to God. All of us, before we came in this morning, we should have already ministered to God. Amen. Before we got here this morning. As we come to corporately minister to God and to each other, we should have ministered to God already in private. Yeah. So when I finished speaking, a gentleman raised his hand because we had questions and answers. How do you minister to God? I don't know how to minister to God. So here we go. And so I don't want to take for granted that we know how to minister to God. So let's talk about it, because I'm challenging you as this year is finishing out. Every morning we should be ministering to God before we go out and minister to each other. Before I speak to what my wife, my kids, my job, whatever I'm doing, I should have already ministered to God. It changes the whole atmosphere of your home, your job, your life, yourself. So I'm challenging us. And so here's a scripture I want us to make note of. And it allows you, it takes you through ministering to God. I say 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. 29 and 10. 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father." So he starts off, when you're ministering to God, you start off by blessing God. It says, "Our Father forever and ever." So here we go. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and is in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." So you wake up giving God what's due to him. That way you get yourself out of the equation and you don't have to worry about all that you're going through, because you're recognizing who God is. And if God is all that, if he's the victory, the power, the majesty, the greatness, then you just have to line up with what God has for you. You really don't have to try and figure this thing out. You just have to line up with God and walk with him. So when you start off and you're ministering to God, you're just telling God who he is. Verse 12, it says, "Both riches and honor come of thee." Man, that's the formula, going to God. Riches and honor come from God. We don't have to sell out to the world. We don't have to sell out to stuff. We don't have to sell out to things if that's what you want. It all comes from God. Says God reigns over all, and in God's hand is power and might, and in God's hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Amen. That's the God we serve. Oh, you ministering to God. When you get on your knees and take 5 minutes and just tell God who he is, and God, lead and guide my life. Verse 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Wake up, you're thankful and you're praising God. Now you know why you praise God. Now you know why some of us, we lift our hands and we thank God, because we recognize who God is and we're ministering to God because of who he is. That's why we praise God. Sometimes you don't even know why you praise him. Now you do. And even if you feel inadequate, so did David. And this is David on his deathbed. I didn't set it up and let you know that. This is David on his deathbed. As he's checking out, he still recognizes how good God has been and who God is. Think about it. When we're coming to the end of our time, if we're fortunate enough to know it like David did, will we be able to still have praise on our lips and thanksgiving in our heart because of what God has done? Verse 14, it says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly of this sort? For all things," somebody need to underline that, that's "all things come from God. And of thy own hand we give thee." He said, "God, God, I haven't done anything. Everything I have is because you gave it to me." Yeah, I'm just giving back to you what you gave. "God, who am I? I've done nothing. In this whole equation of life, God, I've done nothing. You give me strength, you give me power, you give me might, and everything I have is only because of what you gave me." That's why I offer it willingly. See, that's why if you can't give your tithes and offering, and this is not no way, any shape or form about a giving message, but it just says you don't really know who God is. You don't know how God has blessed you. So I hold back because I think I got to hold on to this because I got to make it happen. But you got to realize God gave that to you, and you couldn't even give it back to him of your own because you didn't get it of your own. So it's really a spiritual maturity thing. It has nothing to do with money. Trust me, God doesn't need our money. He really don't. He wants to see what you're going to do with it. He wants to see what you're committed to. He wants to see, can you be a good steward over it? He wants to see, can you trust him with 10%? He wants to see if you believe that if you give him 10, he could do more. You could do more with the 90. He could do more with the 90 than you could do with the 100. So God said, let's see what you're going to do. And David said, I can't even, all I'm doing is giving back to you what you gave to me. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners. We're just pilgrims, or we're just traveling as we're all our father. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. He said, we're just a shadow. And in another, in James, he talks about how our life is just a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away. David said, our days are just a shadow. You can't even fixate on a shadow. If the sun's not out, a shadow doesn't even exist. And when it is, it just comes and goes, a shadow. It's how you minister to God. When you recognize who you are and who he is, each morning it changes your whole perspective on life. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for your holy name cometh of your hand and is all yours. They're talking about building the temple. Let me let you in on a little insight. Today, we're the temple. So now we should be preparing our temple for God. You're not your own self. Not as a Christian, you're not. You belong to God. That's why when you minister to God, it puts life in perspective. It puts you in perspective. It puts everything in perspective. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that you test the heart. Ooh, somebody say amen. Amen. God's testing your heart. Why? Because he has pleasure in uprightness. God's going to test your heart to see if you can live right. See if you can stay right. See if you can be right. See if you can think right, act right, and do right. God's going to test your heart, because after it's all said and done, it comes back to where's your heart with God. Not how many times you come to church, what time you come to church, where you go to church. None of that matters. God's going to test your heart to see where you are with him, because it comes back to the heart. Why we do what we do. The motive behind, the motive behind, the motive behind, the intentions behind, the motive. God said, I'm going to test your heart, because I'm going to find out. Not that I don't know, but you need to know where you are. So when you minister to God, you realize, man, I got to get myself together. And remember, God is not trying to change us. God is trying to replace us with his son, Jesus Christ. So as when I'm saying get it together, I need to surrender all so Christ can take over. So when he tests the heart, I can't do this. And we talk about the heart. We've been to Jeremiah several times. That it's above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The worst thing, remember, the worst thing you could do is say, I'm going to just follow my heart. No, that's the last thing you want to do. Please don't do that. So the last thing you want to do. And remember, young ladies, when the guy says, hey, I want to give you my heart, you tell him, I don't want that deceitful, desperately wicked thing. You keep it. Don't take nobody's heart. Tell him, give it to God. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I don't want your heart. I really don't. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest, you test the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness, living right. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I willingly offered all these things. Ooh, somebody underline that. You meditate on that till the end of the year. Have you really willingly offered up all these things? And one thing God knows for sure, he's looking at your heart. So you can what? You can fool a fool. You can con a con, but you can't play with God. God is not mocked. Can you really say that at this point? I've offered all these things. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Can you say that? And now have I seen with the joy of thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of your people and prepare their heart unto thee. He said, God, let us always remember this. Let us all remember how we were all surrendered and sold out to God because of who you are and how good you are. Regardless of what happens in the world, on the job, in the house, God, let us remember this time what you mean to us and who you are. Don't let us ever forget it with the distractions, the frustrations, the temptations, the pink slips, the accidents, the marriage, the divorce, the kids. God, don't let us forget who you are and this time what you've done. That's how you minister to God each morning. Verse 19, and give unto Solomon, and he prayed for a son. Say, give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. Not being perfect in perfection, but that word in the Hebrew translated, give him a loyal heart. When you're praying for your kids, you're praying for your spouse, you're praying for your parents, you're praying for your friends and family, God, give them a loyal heart to you. Because God, if you have their heart, you have everything else. Sometimes we pray for the wrong things. God, give them a loyal heart to you. Because God, if they're going to be loyal to you, if my wife is going to be loyal to you, Lord, she'll be loyal to me. If your husband's going to be loyal to God, he's going to be loyal to you. You better believe that. Because you can't be there. You can't check enough text messages and phone calls and all this stuff. You're going to drive yourself crazy. Pray for a loyal heart. Because if they're loyal to God, they'll be loyal to you. If your kids are loyal to God, you don't have to worry about when they go off to college and what's going to happen when they're out with their friends at school. If they're loyal to God, they're going to be loyal to God. You drive yourself crazy. You can't sleep at night. Trying to work what they're doing, where they're at, what's happening. God, give him a loyal. If my son has a loyal heart, if my daughters have a loyal heart, don't have to worry about it. Try sending your son out to New Orleans, into the Mardi Gras, to Bourbon Street. I don't pray that he don't get into trouble. I pray that he has a loyal heart to God. And then he'll walk in and go, you know what? God said, you need to get out of here. Man, I'm cool. Don't tell your kids what to do and what not to do. Pray that they have a loyal heart. So David's on his deathbed and he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about God. He's thinking about his family. He's not thinking about, I wish I would have made more money. I wish I would have bought 10 houses. He's not thinking about it. Trust me, you're not thinking about that stuff on your deathbed. He's not thinking about saving the world. He's thinking about who God is. And he's praying for his family. So while we're living, while we yet have breath in our body, we need to be thanking God for who he is and praying for our family. That's all that really counts right now. Amen. Seeking and saving those that are lost. Trying to take care of what God has given us. Being a good steward over that. That's where the rubber meets the road. He's on his deathbed. He's not thinking about his stocks and his bonds and how many cars he had and how many medals he got. And how much money he has in the bank and all that. He's not thinking about that stuff. And he's fortunate because he knows he's dying. How many people just got up this morning and was that? I was listening to the radio yesterday. It was a fatality on one of the freeways. Somebody got up that morning. That's not what they planned. Just hope they were saved. Because it really doesn't matter. When you get to the end of life like this. Verse 19, and give unto Solomon, my son, a loyal heart so he can keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes. It's not about us. Kids, should you do what your parents say? Yeah, they should. But trust me, it gets a lot deeper than that. You need to do what God says. So you need to respect you and honor your parents. Of course, that's the word. But we're praying that you do what God says because we're not there all the time. And then at some point, God's going to take us out of the picture. He's going to take us home with them, with him. And you need to be able to do, youngsters, what God has called you to do and keep his testimonies, his commandments and his statutes. And to do all these things and to build the temple. It's right there. It says palace, but the Hebrew is translated the temple. for the which I've made provision. God has made provision for us to build our temple. He's given us the power, the Holy Spirit, to build our temple. Let me finish with this verse. Look at 29:1. 29:1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great for the temple. It's not palace. That Hebrew is a temple. The temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Just in case you didn't understand that your temple is not for you. You can't do what you want to do. You can't live how you want to live. Not as a Christian, not as someone surrendered to God. You can't do your own thing. Can't tell yourself a lie. I was born like this. This is who I am, and I'm stuck like this. My mama was like this. My daddy was like this. I've worked with kids. My grandfather was a gangbanger. My mama was a gangbanger. I'm going to be a gangbanger. Don't lie to yourself. The temple is not for you. Not in the body of Christ. It's not for you. You can't sleep who you want to sleep with and go where you want to go. It's not for you. Not if you surrender to God. It's not for you. Now, if you're going to do your own thing, then don't play with God. Do your own thing and deal with those consequences. Say the temple that God has called. Back then it was a building. Now it's us. Tells us that in Corinthians. Know you not that your body is a temple of God? It is not your own. You're bought with a price. Jesus Christ died so you and I could be set free. You can't do what you want to do. And remember, this is not a message of do's and don'ts. It's not about doing stuff to become saved. It's because we are saved by the grace of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but because I am saved, I'm going to live for God. Most people want to die for God. God said, I wish you just live for me. Wish you could just live for me once. This is how you minister to God. Amen. That was a message before the message. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. In case we're, and that's just, family, hear what I'm saying. Hear my heart this morning as pastor, right? We're praying and fasting each morning. Sometimes we don't know what to say. That's 1 Chronicles 29:10-20. All right. Pray that. Speak to God with that. Or either do it at nighttime. Amen. If you're reading the Proverbs in the morning, read it. Read one at night. Read one in the day. But read. Get into the word. Let God, as you minister to God, let God minister to your heart. And once you minister to God, and then when you interact with other people, your family, your friends, your coworkers, it's just a certain peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding. That God gives us. I say it all the time, family, when our vertical is right with God, our horizontal is good. If your vertical isn't right, then everybody gets on your nerve. The kids gets on your nerve. Church folk get on your nerve. Your nose too. But when the vertical's not right, when I'm not ministering to God, then nothing's right. I lose perspective. Let's keep perspective. Let's finish the year strong. And then we'll see how God is leading us. We know we're going to always pray and fast each morning. We know that. And maybe we'll continue in the Proverbs. But we'll talk about that at our New Year's Eve service in the first Sunday in January. But let's finish strong. Get into this word, because the world is not going to get any better. Based on the scripture, we can't be surprised. It's not going to get any better. That's why we have to live and stand for God, because the times aren't going to change for the better. We'll elect a new president next year, but I guarantee you that's not going to be the answer. I guarantee you that much. Might even get worse. Probably will. Because that's what the word says. Not what the world says, but the word says in the last days, evil spirits and seducing spirits, doctrines of devil going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's a cold game when you get deceived and you being deceived. When you think you're deceiving someone else, but you're the one that's being deceived. It's a cold game, and that's what it says. It's going to wax worse and worse. Did I say Ephesians 3 and 14? So here's the other prayer that you add. And family, this takes about 5-6 minutes of your day. All right. Young folks know that they spend an hour on Instagram. Okay, and 30 minutes on homework. You figure that one out. Okay. So it's not like we don't have the time. Most of us, present company included, I'll go watch a football game. That's at least 3 hours. And then most of the time it's going to be watching me because that's my time to go to take a nap. So we can watch a 3-hour game. And Sister Sherry, we might as well watch the Lakers in preseason. At least they're going to win a couple of games in preseason. Amen. So yeah, we big Laker fans, Sister Sherry and I. So we'll sit and watch that game for hours and then say, oh, man, I don't have time to get into the word. Wow. Are your favorite reality TV show? You need to keep up with the word and not the Kardashians. You need to put your get off of Facebook and put your face in this book. And you know, in those things, they have their place. We all like to escape and do our thing, but I can't say I don't have time to spend with God. I have to get my priorities right. I can never say I didn't have time. I didn't make time. It wasn't a priority. And these days, it's just too much going on not to make God a priority. Too much going on. All right, so let's 3 and 14. It says, and this is the other prayer. This is Paul. Remember, Ephesians talks about the wealth of the believer, the walk of the believer, and the warfare of the believer. So as Paul is in verse 3, he's still talking about the wealth. And then we'll get to chapter 3, he's talking about the wealth, and we'll get into the walk in chapter 5. And we started a couple years ago on the warfare. So it's kind of like we're doing a prequel. We saw the movie. Now we go back to see how the movie got to where the movie was that we saw, that we already saw, and how did it begin? It's one of those things, you know. They have the Terminator. Then they go back and show you before the Terminator what happened before that and all that kind of stuff. So 3 and 14, here's Paul say, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's another prayer. If you don't know where to start with your prayer, start here. Start in Chronicles. We talked about it last week, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God has left his creative footprint on everything. We talked about the digital footprint on the world. If you get on your cell phone, you do this, they got you tracked. They made every phone a couple years ago go from analog to digital. They need to know where you and I are, because our digital footprint is everywhere. God says, I put my creative footprint on this whole world. From oxygen, the carbon dioxide, to the sun rising, to the sun setting, to the moon, to being exactly positioned from the sun. If we go an inch one way, we burn up. We go an inch the other way, we freeze to death. God said, I put my creative footprint on everything. There's no denying what God has done. I even looked up some of the his creative footprint. If you've ever gone to any of these places and you don't know why, it's because God is why they're so beautiful. Just a few I listed, the Grand Canyon. Amen. If you ever look at that thing, oh, my God, Niagara Falls, Victoria Falls, the Aurora Natural Lights, the Great Barrier Reef. Those are places you just, my God, beautiful places. They would tell you it's just natural rock formation or this, that. We know it's God's creative handprint. Verse 15, again, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is Paul's prayer, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. And that word strengthened in the Greek is empowered. And the word might in the Greek is ability, that God would empower you with ability by his spirit in your inner man. Not so much the outside. It's okay to fix up the outside, but his prayer is that God would empower you with the ability, the dunamis power, the ability by his spirit that your whole, that his Holy Spirit that we are filled and sealed with would guide our inner man. We have to spend just as much time on the inside than we do with the outside. You all know I love go to the gym and work out, and that's okay. That's strengthening the outer man. But God says, Paul is praying that God would strengthen, according to his riches and glory, your inner person would be strengthened. And you can do it because we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. If you don't have that underlined, underline that. See, and that gets back, look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Well, matter of fact, look at Ephesians 2 and 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. Ah, look at that. By grace you are saved. We couldn't do it on our own. And that's why I say we have, by faith, we accept Christ into our heart. And that word faith means to believe, to trust. We trust God and allow Christ to come into our heart. Because by grace are you saved. You couldn't work for it. But verse 5, he talked about when we were dead in sins. And James talks about it too. John talks about if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And so here we have Halloween coming up and folks are dressing like zombies, but they don't realize they're already a zombie. You don't even have to dress up because you're already dead. If you don't have Christ, you're already dead in your sins. You don't have to dress like a zombie because you are. And see, folks don't want to hear that word. You offend them. That's OK. But this is the word. That's why you got to get into the word. And you and I were zombies at one time. What's a zombie? The living dead. We're the existing dead. We thought we were alive, but we were really dead and we were just existing. And Satan was having a field day toying with us left and right. And so God brought us out and out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're going to read how the light exposes the darkness. That's why folks don't want you around when you're talking that Jesus stuff. But we were zombies at one time. You were the best dressed zombie at the club. You were looking good. Let's say Sister Lenora had on your gold changes and everything. Best looking zombie at the club. Didn't even know it. Your outfit was actually a costume because you were a zombie. Some of y'all still had the price tag tucked in on your zombie outfit because you was going to take it back the next day. Yeah, I said that light exposes that darkness. That's cold, boy. God help us. Hey, this is a tough word, to take out to the world. It's a tough word because nobody wants to hear this stuff. So I was listening to one of the pastors on the radio. He said everyone should go to a funeral at least once a year so you can sit there and realize, man, this stuff is real. It just got real. Because I got three questions. You ask somebody three questions. When they say, I don't, whatever, just say, I just need you to answer. Help me answer three questions. Where do I come from? Why am I here? And where do I go when I leave here? And we need to find those things out. And I can stay self-medicated and I can hide behind all this other kind of stuff. But when the rubber meets the road and you're sitting there and somebody has transitioned. Where did I come from? Why am I even here? Wait a minute. What about when it's my turn? Where do I go when I leave here? As they're getting dressed up, and we're not going to get that deep on them with the Halloween thing we're going to be doing. We're just going to be asking them to pray for them. We'll get them in here and we'll hit them a little bit harder. But and sometimes if the Lord takes you there, people are out looking. We have the answer. And we talk about is we've been going through the book of Exodus, and we're going to get into Leviticus next. And God gives specific details on everything. And then you have Jesus Christ who came and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And all of a sudden, we want to try and make it seem like there's another way to get to heaven. So all of a sudden in the Old Testament, we serve a specific, detailed God. And when he comes in the flesh and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man gets to the Father except through me. We don't want to believe those details. But God is a God of detail. And if Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and you go, oh, I don't think, what about the little kid who's over? What about you? Don't try and get distracted. What about you? Do you accept or reject the gospel truth? God's left his creative handprint on everything. I ask folks all the time who say they believe in God. If God created everything that we see, is God capable, a God who can create the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, oxygen, gravity, carbon dioxide, all these other elements, create us from the dust of the ground. Is he capable of leaving us a clear message of how to reach him? He can create all this, but then all of a sudden he gets ambiguous when it's time to say, this is how you can connect with me. This is how you can reach and communicate with me. It gets cloudy. No, that's too clear. That's too simple. God said, I made it. I made the simple things to confound the wise. It's foolishness to them, but to us it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. People are trying to get too deep with this, and God gets deep but not complicated. God keeps it very simple. We all will stand before him without excuse. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. God has flipped the script. He saved us through grace and he raised us up. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. God never asks you to give up anything without giving you something better. God never says, give this up and I'll leave you by yourself. He even told the rich ruler, he said, go and sell everything you have and you'll have riches in heaven. He didn't hear that. He just heard, go and sell everything that you had, because he had a lot. He lost him on that. He says, sell everything and I will give you riches in heaven. God never tells you to give up. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And right here he says he saves us, then he raises us up in heavenly places. And then in the ages, verse 7 again, the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And I love Ephesians 8 and 9. Here we go again. He had to make it plain. For by grace are you saved through faith. See, the grace comes before the faith. Because if it's no grace, it's nothing to have faith in. We couldn't earn it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Somebody needs to highlight that. You didn't save yourself. You and I were not capable of saving ourselves. You don't want to stand before God trying to represent yourself and all your sin. God starts playing back the heavenly videotape of your life. And God says, well, I want you to show me where you saved yourself. Go ahead. I'm going to cut on your video of your life. Show me where you saved yourself. Show me where you made atonement for your sins. And you're looking going, my God, I must have been an idiot. Wow. Oh, God, stop right. No, don't show that. Oh, God, I know you didn't show that. Forgot about that. Oh, man. Oh, okay, God, you can stop. No, you want to save. I need to see where you saved yourself. I need to see where you made atonement for your sins. Look at you. You're the zombie in the club right there. Look at that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were sharp that night. Oh, well, you don't want to see this part, do you? Oh, okay. You're leaving now. Oh, no, God, don't show that. Please don't show that part. Oh, God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And you and I, we know we don't. God, please keep that stuff covered under the blood. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing me to deceive myself thinking I could save myself. Thank you for choosing me out of darkness into your light. I'm forever grateful. I'll minister to God every morning just so he won't have to show that video of my life. He don't have to do nothing else but say, I won't show that if you had God, you got it. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift. Either you say, I'll take it or no, thank you. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he says right here, for we are his workmanship. You're God's creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has created us for good works in Christ Jesus, which God has ordained, which means God has prepared that we should walk in them. God says, I have a whole plan for your life of good works that I prepared for you to walk in if you surrender to me. I've saved you. I've put you in high places. Now I got a work prepared for you if you would just surrender to me. And that's where we got to stop this morning. Oh. And let us just bow quickly, and God's calling us to such a high standard. But thank you, Lord, that you not just called us, but you've equipped us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You said that through your power and might, we can be strengthened in our inner man by your Spirit. God, I'm praying here at South Bay Abundant Life Church that we accept the challenge, Lord. As we finish this year, as we stand strong finishing this year, and we're standing going into 2016, not stumbling and crawling in. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. Maybe someone's here saying, Lord, I've never even accepted Christ. I didn't realize I was trying to work for this, Lord. I didn't realize it was a gift. It was a gift of grace, which is your favor and kindness. Grace being translated in the Greek is kindness and favor. It's the kindness and favor of God that he saved us. And saved means rescued. And it's a free gift, not of works. We couldn't work for it. God, please don't show the videotape of our life. Thank you for covering it with the blood, and thank you for saving us, Lord. Maybe when someone says, Lord, I've never accepted the free gift. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here and you just want to say, Pastor, I got to get back on the right track. I want to rededicate my life as I finish this year. I'm not going to wait till January. I'm starting Sunday, October 25th. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I need a place to be where the word is taught, where the love of God is and the presence of God is. That's you, elevate your hand. If you have any other prayer needs for salvation, rededication, to rededicate your life, looking for a church home, elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you, Lord. Your Spirit has moved throughout this place, Lord, challenging us to change, to replace our will for your will, to stand strong, to be strengthened in our inner man, to accept your free gift. God, I'm praying for all those under the sound of my voice, that we would take you seriously. We would make it a point to seek your face daily through your word, through the scriptures, in our quiet time, in our prayer time, in our time of fasting. Strengthen our inner man, God, when we get tired, when we get weary, when we want to give up, when we have to deal with the temptations, the frustrations, the distractions, Lord, strengthen us in our inner man, in our inner person. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. Give us the courage to live this. We love you, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.